This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we thank our last two guests, Susan Sheehan with the Life Care Center of the South Shore, and Faye Kelly with Walk Holes with the Fit for the Cure. Joining us, I believe, on the phone line is a best-selling author of the book Island Practice. I guess this is a book that is going to become a TV series written by Pam Bellick. Pam, are you there?
Here, yes. Thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely. I gotta first give a little bit of a shout-out to Stu Kirsch, who is a gentleman who enlightens us when folks are either coming with a book or somebody is going to be in the area, and he's almost pretty much like somebody who keeps an eye on it, and sends me an email saying, "Hey, this person's going to be in the area. Maybe you might want to have them on." And so, a big thank you to Stu for helping to set this all up. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I would definitely agree. I had the pleasure of meeting Stu a few months ago, and he's a wonderful person with lots of great ideas, and it was just a great experience talking with him.
I have to add, first and foremost, it says here that you're a writer, but you're also a musician, a classically trained flutist?
Yeah, I am. I wear a couple of hats. I mean, my day job, I'm a New York Times staff writer, and I cover health and science, although I used to be the New York Times New England bureau chief. So I lived up there for 7 years, and I'm always excited about a chance to come back up. Then I wrote this book, which was sort of started from a story that I did while I was the New England bureau chief for the Times. And then I also am a classically trained flutist, and I mostly play jazz now. So I have a regular group that I play with in New York City. One thing that's been just incredibly exciting is that when people kind of find out that I have this music thing going, they have been inviting me to kind of combine the two in one event. And so that's what I'm going to be doing this Saturday, May 18th.
At the Book Shack?
At the Book Shack, which is just such a creative, innovative bookstore. I've been so impressed with them. They have this beautiful space, and they have put a performance stage in there and a cafe, and they have wine and beer. And in fact, before our event on Saturday, starting at 6:30, I believe they're going to be having a wine tasting there, and that's going to make our music sound a whole lot better, I'm sure, for anybody who's coming in. We get started at 7, and I'm going to be playing music with some wonderful Boston musicians led by Mark Shalansky, who has just plays all over the place. He's a pianist and a composer, and he teaches at Berkeley. And so we're going to be sort of alternating music with a discussion about Island Practice, and also kind of about the connections between music and writing. And that'll be a conversation between me and Alicia Anstead, who is the editor of The Writer magazine.
I see. Well, I have to ask you, I was going to, before you kind of gave a breakdown of what you're doing, was were you going to, is it where we start out seeing you doing a, telling about the book, the island, Island Practice, and then you playing intermission, and then doing a second part of Q&A with some of the folks, and is it something like that?
Yeah, we've done this a couple of different ways, and I've done one of these events in New York City and one in San Francisco, and we've, both places we've drawn actually kind of standing room audiences, which has been great, and they've been different. We've sort of structured them differently depending on the venue. I think what we're going to be doing here at the Book Shack in Kingston is that we're going to alternate playing a tune and having a bit of a discussion, and playing another tune and having a bit of a discussion, and that'll go on for probably about an hour, and then we'll take questions from the audience. I've found when I do these book events that there's always wonderful questions. People are very engaged. And then we'll probably do a book signing and have Mark Shalansky and his trio sort of play while we do that. So, you know, one of the wonderful things about these kinds of events is that you can make them a little bit improvisational. So if folks want to ask more questions, we can leave more time for that. If folks are, you know, totally blown away by the music, we can leave a little more time for that. It's a lot of fun.
Give us the details of Island Practice. What is the synopsis of this book?
Sure. So Island Practice, it's a nonfiction book. It's a true story. And it's based on the life of Dr. Timothy Leprey, who is kind of a jack-of-all-trades doctor on the island of Nantucket. So he's, you know, 30 miles out to sea, and he is holding literally the life of this island community in his hands, because he's the surgeon and the medical examiner and the football team doctor and the tick disease expert, and he'll fix up your animals, and he'll has a somewhat unorthodox approach to psychological counseling. And so he has, you know, he's been there for 30 years, and he is not the only doctor there, but he tends to do a little bit of everything. He's extremely dedicated. He'll make house calls to all sorts of interesting and eccentric characters who live on the island, including a former resident who built a house underground and then had another house that was kind of an igloo made out of vines. And so he does treat people like Chris Matthews and the Kennedy relatives, but he's also there year-round and treating people who are, you know, certainly not in that economic class, and they're kind of, you know, scrambling to make a living, and they're the police officers and the teachers and the nurses, and so, you know, he's called upon to do all sorts of things, and I just found that really fascinating, the sort of life and death drama that goes on there, you know, day by day, but also just kind of the wonderful characters that you encounter there, you know, the people who go to live on an island where you really can't have, you know, as much as at your fingertips as you can on the mainland. You know, they tend to be very independent spirited, very creative. Dr. Leprey himself has a bunch of interesting and eccentric hobbies, and so it's just kind of a fun, fascinating community to spend some time with.
So you're saying that this doctor is a real life person? Is it more biographical? Is it a biography of this individual, or is there anything additional put together in this particular book?
It's a bit of a there's some biographical stuff, but it's really more kind of a portrait of an American community.
Okay.
And it's, you know, another kind of big undercurrent is what this says about the American healthcare system. So you have this, you know, independent spirit of a doctor who, you know, will do everything possible for his patients, and he's working at a small hospital that was taken over a few years ago by Mass General and Partners Healthcare, and they have, you know, kind of the corporate healthcare system in place. And so there's a bit of a tug of war between this doctor who, you know, doesn't want to limit his time with patients and doesn't want to kind of sign up with the physician's organization, and wants to be able to have patients pay him in oatmeal raisin cookies if they don't have insurance and that kind of thing. And, you know, kind of what he calls the suits, who want it done in a bit more of a conventional and regimented way. And so one of the things that readers are responding to in the book, aside from, I think, you know, kind of the colorful tales, is this sense of what is happening to our healthcare system? How can we preserve the doctoring and the patient relationships that we want in the face of, you know, the transformation that's happening and the financial limitations and the pressures on the healthcare system?
I have to ask you: Is this your first book?
It is.
No kidding. So how exciting is it that this thing is on the cusp of becoming a TV series? And I believe that there's going to be a medical drama that the series is going to be based on your book. How exciting is that?
Well, this has just been incredibly exciting and just a really magical adventure for me so far. You know, where we are now is that the book, we actually got very lucky. A number of Hollywood production companies and networks bid for the book. And so the winning bidder is Imagine Television, which is Ron Howard's production company.
Sure.
And 20th Century Fox, and they have teamed up. They have picked a wonderful screenwriter named Amy Holden Jones, who's actually a feature film writer, and she's written movies like Mystic Pizza and Indecent Proposal and the Beethoven movies. So she has a great sense of variety and, you know, humor and quirkiness, and it fits very well. And she's drafted a pilot, which so far, you know, I've seen. It's wonderful. It's all fictionalized, mm-hmm. her version of it.
Yep.
And it's going to sort of go through the process. So it's doing, you know, so far we're getting great feedback from it. We'll see. I think these things take, you know, 2 or 3 years, but it's exciting so far.
Well, not too bad for your first book. You have to have thoughts of possible other books down there. I mean, being somebody who writes articles and some of the stuff that you've written about over the years for the New York Times, I mean, was a book inevitable?
You know, I don't really know exactly. I guess I had always thought in the back of my mind that it might be something that I'd like to do, and periodically I would get you know, calls from people suggesting that one of my stories become a book, and I had always said no in the past. Just didn't seem either like the right time or the right thing for me to be doing. But when I wrote this story about Dr. Lepre, which was in 2007, I immediately, to my surprise, I guess I hadn't expected it, but I got calls from book people, and it just seemed like it would be it would be a fun and fascinating thing to spend some time reporting out and writing. So that process itself has been very fulfilling. People of Nantucket have been wonderful, just very, you know, gracious and generous with their time, and the Lepre family as well. And so that's just been a very rewarding thing. And then just to, you know, kind of be able to produce a different kind of writing. As you say, I mean, I've been writing for the Times for a long time, and I love my job, but there are some differences in being a book author, both in the process and also kind of, you know, how readers engage with you and how your audiences engage with you, and all of that is just a very rewarding thing for me.
Now, I believe, just doing a little bit of a investigating myself, I believe that you're married to an investigative reporter. Is that correct?
I am.
So how often did you turn to him when you were at a particular point in a storyline that you're trying to, you know, progress and say, honey, what do you think of this?
Actually, not very often. He didn't read anything until I had actually sent in the first draft of the chapters. I think I may have been nervous about what he might have thought. and he's also, in addition to being an investigative reporter, he's also a former copy editor.
Ah.
So I knew that as soon as he started reading, he would, and he did, you know, pore over little things and say, oh, I remember one of them was that in chapter one, the character in the subtitle, Underground Tom, he has this crazy house that's made out of vines, and I'm sort of describing all of these things that you find in this tiny little house, and one of them was lipped in what I wrote cup of noodle soup, and my husband noticed that there's no O in there, just cup noodles. So he would sort of go through and make those kinds of little changes, which is a little maddening, as you can imagine, but he was very, very supportive.
Well, then let's not, you know, keep him in the dark. In the dark, did he not win a Pulitzer?
He did, yes.
And that is, I believe, Bill Denham, right?
Bill Deadman, yes.
Deadman, I'm sorry.
He's an extremely talented investigative reporter and a wonderful husband.
Sorry, Bill, don't get mad at me. Said his name wrong. Well, listen, we must wrap up the segment, but I I hope you have a fantastic time doing double duty this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. For folks who want to know more about you, whether they want to purchase the book, if they want to get a bio, they want to find out more before they go to the event down at the Book Shack in Kingston, how can they find out more? Do you have a website? Tell us more.
Sure. Well, you can find out more about the book and a little bit about me at islandpracticebook.com. And I think if you do pambellick.com, you'll find me that way too. You can find me on the New York Times website very easily.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of stuff there. And Facebook and Twitter. And I really hope folks come down. It's the folks at the Book Shack have planned for a wonderful event and have been incredibly creative about it. So I think it'd be great for people just to take advantage of what the Book Shack has to offer too.
Well, I would love to have you back on when we find out when things progress more with the TV series, and maybe if you're coming back to do another tour of duty at the Book Shack or maybe to promote another book. Can you promise that we'll have you back on Monday Night Talk?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, you have good luck on Saturday night, and we'll definitely look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Bye-bye.
You got it. It's author Pam Bellick. Of course, she's the best-selling author of Island Practice.